Aloha, welcome to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. Each week we talk about health and fitness, but nothing replaces a visit to your own primary care provider. Today we're going to talk about advanced care planning. What are some of the resources available? Why is this so important? And what are some of the changes that have taken place with a document called a PULSE, a physician's order or provider's order for life-sustaining treatment? Today I have in the studio Hope Young. She's an advanced care planning coordinator, and Jeanette Kojane from Kukua Mau. And we're going to be talking today about what are some of the changes, but also what are the reasons why this could be such an important conversation that it's better to have early than wait until you're in the middle of a crisis. So thank you for joining me today here on The Body Show.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Hope, you're an advanced care planning coordinator. What does that mean? What do you do? And what sort of ways are you able to help teach people about this concept of advanced care planning?
Well, Kathy, I do go out into the community and I talk about advanced care planning, what it is, why it's so important, why it's really important for people to have these conversations while they're healthy, rather than waiting for a health crisis and then trying to figure out what they want to do and what matters most to them. So I go out into the community and I talk about advanced care planning, these conversations, the advanced directive, which is the document that actually supports your wishes for care. We also talk about the POST. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit, too. And then we give people an opportunity to think about what matters most. Because if we think about the things that bring us joy and what matters most, and we include those in our healthcare decision-making, it actually helps to guide the decisions as to what kind of care we're going to get in the midst of a serious crisis.
So you mentioned that you define what advanced care planning is. When you go to explain this to a group of folks, what do you tell them it actually is?
Well, I like to use stories. So stories are really great with showing the effectiveness of why these conversations matter, making sure that folks understand that you don't want to be that family who has the fight going on outside the ER because people haven't had these conversations. You want to be there and show up and be able to support one another because you have already had these conversations and know what kind of care you would or wouldn't want, and whether you'd want to be in the hospital or if you'd rather be at home in your own bed.
So we're talking about end-of-life care. We're talking about discussions about what mom or dad, grandma, grandpa, or even young person with a serious illness, what they want based on their current wishes, which also has to incorporate should they be in a healthcare situation where they're, you know, depending on their age or what else is going on, should there not be any opportunity for them to improve dramatically, what kind of end-of-life care they might want.
That and choosing a healthcare agent, also known as a healthcare power of attorney, the person that you trust to be your voice if you're unable to speak for yourself. Would they know what to say on your behalf? And how would they know if you don't have these conversations?
So really the key part of having an agent or having somebody, if you're unconscious or if you're in an ICU and you're on a breathing machine or whatever the case may be, is to have somebody who knows what you would have wanted. I think, you know, for a lot of folks, particularly, you know, I know in my own experience with siblings and elderly parents, you know, often the siblings, particularly those of us in the medical profession, we kind of have our own preconceived notions of what mom or dad would want. And then we have our medical hat, which says, this is what I think is most appropriate. And that can kind of become a bit conflicting if you really haven't had an opportunity to talk to your loved one about their wishes first.
Absolutely. I've heard so many times from Kupuna, oh, my kids know what I want. Great. That means you've had these conversations.
And then you ask the kids and, oh, no, maybe not so much.
Right.
Okay. So let's talk about this advanced care document. Now, there's several different types of advanced care documents. Mm-hmm. Jeanette, tell me a little bit about what are these different papers and which one you want and when you want it.
Absolutely. So key thing, as Hope said, conversations. So conversations come first, and we encourage people to think about who matters to you. Who is your agent? Who is it? Who are your people? Who would show up for you? And that's the healthcare power of attorney. So really at 18, everybody needs to name that person. As soon as you get to be 18, your parents no longer have access to your records. So everybody's sending their kids off to school. Take note, you need to choose who it is that you want to speak for you. So the first thing is a healthcare power attorney. So a healthcare power of attorney. And then the second thing is that a healthcare power of attorney in Hawaii is part of what's called an advance directive. So the second part of an advance directive, then that comes at the very end of life. When you're approaching the end of life, that's when these discussions about what matters to me comes in. So there's like two parts of an advance directive. And I do want to say we have advance directives now in 11 languages because we're really trying to help people access the information. We want people not to have the barrier of language. But I think really one of the key things about the access is feeling comfortable with these decisions and the conversations, which is why I would encourage people listening to say, hey, I'd like to invite Hope and Kukua Mau to come to my church, to my temple, to my book club, wherever groups of people come together, because then you can take some time, break the ice, and hopefully not be so scared and see that actually these are pretty important conversations. Who matters to you and what matters to you? And really, we should be doing this all the time. So the first important document that everybody needs at 18, an advance directive. And I will say I did my first advance directive with an 18-year-old on his birthday last month. His mother works for hospice, and you know, he's known me for a long time. But on his 18th birthday, it was super interesting, obviously a great kid, but he's like, oh, this is what happened with Auntie when she had a stroke and we didn't have any documents. That's what we're talking about. So it was very profound for this 18-year-old, but also then for his parents to hear about that. So advance directives is the first thing. Another document that you mentioned at the top is the POLST. So an advance directive, everybody needs one. You have conversations, you choose your agent, you talk with your agent, make sure that he or she wants to do it. It's an honor, but it's also, you know, you need really to understand what the person wants. And then you need to share that. Share those documents, make sure everybody who's part of your team will have them, and make sure that you get it into the electronic medical record, which most of us have through Kaiser or Queens or Hawaii Pacific Health, Castle. Like, everybody has these electronic medical records now, and you need to make sure that those are available, but also then, like I said, the paper copy for your people.
Are there any default directives? Like, are there any default people? If you're married, is it assumed that your spouse would be the person who would be the healthcare power of attorney if you didn't indicate it?
No, and actually people that come from other states have that misunderstanding. We have more of the ohana approach. Sometimes the hanai granddaughter's the best one. Sometimes it's your best friend. So what's important for us is you get to choose who you want. And then if no one has chosen, there is a process where you bring people together and figure out who it is that's going to speak for them. But that obviously takes more time and money. So that's why everybody needs this, let alone for somebody who may have, you know, mild cognitive impairment, early diagnosis of dementia, any kind of serious illness. But as Hope says, you know, at 18, everybody's got to do this. So we could save ourselves in Hawaii a lot of stress by having people do this early.
So under 18, it would be your parents or your guardians.
Yeah.
And over 18, everyone should have someone that they select would be that person. Should there be any questions about what they want, accidents, right. Trauma, illness, right. Et cetera.
And really what we advise people to have two somebodies. So if you have a spouse, you may be driving in the car and have an accident. So let's have somebody else. And for a lot of people, they also like the idea of a backup support team, right? Oh, okay, you're going to be, I agreed to be an agent for a friend. And she's like, I'm so glad you can give my husband support when he's there. Absolutely. We're there for you. This is good. So, and then, you know, the really important conversations. Well, what do you want? And, you know, you've probably seen this too, that the conversations and the questions that are being asked, it's not necessarily straightforward. So if you can understand what matters, you know, what's important to somebody, then it's easier to make those conversations. And I will say the healthcare folks I get to work with in Kukua Mau, They're amazing. They're wonderful folks, and they want to have the wishes of the patient honored. But if you don't know what those wishes are, you can't make that happen, and then crisis happens. So you can really be helping. And I will say, too, if you go to your doctor and say, hey, I went to, you know, Kukua Mao came to my temple. We had this conversation. I did my advance directive. I want to tell you what matters to me and give you my document. My God, they'd buy you cookies. I mean, they would be so happy because most people, you know, most doctors are afraid to bring it up because they think people will freak out. And boy, you can save a lot of stress by doing that yourself. So
I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. You're listening to The Body Show. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about the importance of advance directives and what are these particular forms we're talking about. We referenced that post. We're going to go ahead and go through some recent changes that have taken place in that document as well. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak, and I'm here today with Hope Young. She's an advanced care planning coordinator, and Jeanette Kojane from Kukua Mao, and we're talking a little bit about advanced directives. Who needs them? What are the documents that are included? And what are the new changes that have happened with these documents to make them either more user-friendly or more descriptive or just something that's easier to fill out? So let's talk a little bit about specifics. Hope, we talked about having a healthcare power of attorney. I think anytime people hear the words power of attorney, it can kind of scare them a little bit. They think, oh, do I need an attorney to set one up? Do they have to be a lawyer? Do I have to get things notarized? Or there's all these forms. How do you establish a healthcare power of attorney?
We also like to use the term healthcare agent, just so they're not so confused with the two terms. They're one and the same. Basically, you're going to look for the person that you can ask to be your voice, your advocate. This is your champion. This is the person who's going to make sure that your wishes are honored and respected because they're known. So that requires some conversations, a lot of conversations, because you might think you have somebody in mind, and then when you have the conversation, you realize they're just not going to be able to advocate for you because they love you that much. They're going to keep you around for as long as possible. So we want to make sure that we start having those conversations to recognize who that person could be. Once we've figured that out, then we're going to download an advance directive. And the very top of it, you get your agent, your healthcare power of attorney. You get to name those people. And again, like Jeanette said, we want to pick two. Because just in case you're in a car with the first person, you want to have a backup person available. Once you fill that part out, and in fact, that could be all you fill out on the advance directive if that's where you are at this point in time, then you get it either notarized or witnessed by two people. And the two people cannot be the person named as your agent. It cannot be someone who is providing care for you in a facility you're receiving care from. And they must be over the age of 18, and one cannot have inheritance rights. So it can be kind of tricky if you're trying to fill that out in the midst of a crisis, which is why we really want to make sure that folks do this in advance. The second part of the form actually goes into what your wishes are. So people might be familiar with the term living will. This is the living will section of the advance directive. And if you're ready to put your wishes on paper, that's when you'd fill that out. But again, if all you fill out is just your healthcare agent, that's fine too. That much is even a step ahead of somebody who hasn't named an agent at all.
So you said two witnesses, nobody in your doctor's office, nobody you're giving property to, but it could be whoever is not named as your agent. Could be your neighbor. It could be a sibling who's not listed as your agent.
Correct.
And they're not going to inherit anything.
Correct.
Okay. So that would be step one, is to do that top portion of the form to indicate who is going to be your agent. And you could have it either notarized or you could have it witnessed. Now, Jeanette, let's talk about that second part of the form, the living will portion of the form, because that kind of also ties in a little bit to the post, but not really. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the second portion of this advance directive, the living will portion. Should everyone fill that out, or If you're not sure, at least get, like Hope said, the top portion done. And what sort of information is asked in that second portion?
So that, you, as Hope said, you can just do the first part and you'll be miles ahead. If everybody would name an agent, boy, this would be huge in Hawaii. So the second part is we like to say what matters to you, where you can talk about what your wishes are, and so that the people who are making decisions for you have an idea about what matters. And you can talk about things like, you know, pain. You can talk about something medical, like you don't want to be in pain. If you don't recognize people, you want something that you would like a different type course of action. But really, I think what's more important is what is it that you, how do you describe yourself as a person? Like, you like to go to the beach. You like to go fishing. You like to hang out with your grandkids. Like, that helps people to understand, well, you're going to choose then a course of action that fits in with your wishes. And you can there indicate if you would like to have your life prolonged by all means necessary, or if you were okay with more of what we tend to call a natural death, that wasn't your approach. And we really try to not have an opinion about that because it's your choice. So for people that believe in miracles, they can do that. And most of the people I talk to are like, you know, I've had a good long life. If it comes to that, that's okay to let me go. And I will say, for agents to understand that is super important, so that you recognize that the decisions that you're making are in keeping with your loved one's wishes. And like for me, thinking about decisions I've made for both my parents, both of them have died, and I was part of the decision making with my siblings. I know I made the right decisions based on their wishes. We see lots of people and we hear of lots of people who didn't have those conversations and they are still chewing up inside 20 years later. Did I make the right decision? Families that have broken apart where over these end of life decisions. And that is, it's not uncommon. So for us, again, the whole conversations about what you want is super important and having everybody on the same page. And we know that people will say, oh, you know, my kids, they fight all the time. Okay, nice. You have four kids. Aren't you lucky? This is something you need to do now. You don't want to be doing this in the ICU or the emergency room. Like, you could do this now. And what a gift to your family to say, you know, we talked about this. And you can work some stuff out.
Hope, is this document, once you fill it out, can you ever change it? Are you making a final decision, or can you revise it over time? How do you deal with the fact that if you make a decision now, things may change in 5-10 years?
Absolutely. It's a living document. So you want to make sure you keep it out in the forefront. We don't want to keep it with your will or your estate planning. We don't pull that out until after you've died. You want to make sure people know where it is and then come back and review it. Life changes, you know, maybe every 5 years, whatever you're comfortable with. I had a social worker actually tell me, thank you for reminding me to take a look at my advance directive. It named my ex-husband as my agent, and my new husband would not be happy with that.
Oh, I can't imagine why. Okay.
So it is good to come back to it, review it from time to time. Just make sure it's up to date. If you need to do a new one, then you're going to void the old one and do a brand new document. We're not going to be adding on to the old one. We want to do a fresh one.
And, you know, you mentioned before, ours are free. So on the Kukuama website, it's free. Don't pay a penny for an advance directive. The one that we have is valid. And across the state, at most agencies, most facilities, they use that. So we just save people a whole bunch of money by using the Kukuama advance directive.
All right. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. You're listening to The Body Show. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion and we're going to pick up on the POLST. What is that document and how is it different than the ones we've talked about so far? We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome Welcome back to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak, and today I have Hope Young, an Advanced Care Planning Coordinator, and Jeanette Kojane from Kakua Mau, and we're talking about the different documents, how to set them up and what do they say, and why it's important when we're talking about advanced directives. Now, right before the break, we talked about the fact that there's two portions for most of these advanced directives. In the first portion, you list an agent, and you find somebody, have a discussion with them, make sure they're willing to serve as an agent, and maybe you have a couple of levels. So you have one person, maybe two, and then you also have other people to succeed them should that person not be available to do that. The next portion of that document, you talk a little bit about what your wishes are, what you feel is important in life. And in some cases, you make a decision on pain relief and other types of life-saving treatments should there be a need. And in some cases, some people want everything done and some people do not. And you get to choose what is most important to you. So that document, Hope, you said you can change it. You should review it every few years, if not more often, if there's a major life change. And it's something that you can void the old one. You fill out a new one. And that would be important for people, particularly if your health status changes or, like you mentioned, your marital status changes or the people in your life change, or maybe the person you listed, unfortunately, passes away. Sometimes with older spouses, that can happen. So this is a good way to just set up a regular time to review it. Now, if you have some things documented on that, you mentioned, Hope, don't leave it in a place that nobody's going to look at. So let people know. Who else might you want to give a copy to so that they would be aware?
Great question. So you'd want to make sure that your provider has a copy so that they can upload it into your electronic medical records. The person you've named as the agent should have a copy as well. You should also let people know that you've had these conversations. They don't necessarily need to see the document unless you'd like them to see it, but let them know who's in charge, who you've asked to be your agent, so that when it comes time for someone to step up, they already know who to look to. And also telling them, hey, if something happens, trust that I trust this person. Please support them. If they have to make hard decisions on my behalf, know that I trust them. And I would appreciate you supporting them during a rough time if they had to do that.
Well, that's a great idea. Get that hooey of other people for support if there's a need. Now, there's another document I want to take a few moments to discuss, and that's something that often you will do in your provider's office, and that's the PULSED. Jeanette, that's a slightly different document. Yep. What is that and who needs that?
Yes, so PULSED stands for Provider Orders for Life-Sustaining Treatment. And a PULSED, most people in Hawaii tend to know it as the bright green form. So that is an out-of-hospital medical order. So it documents basically what the care plan is so that if you are not in a hospital setting, that people know what the plan of care is. So this comes after a conversation with either a physician, an APRN, advanced practice nurse, or a physician assistant. So somebody went to school for a long time, is very knowledgeable about medicine, and this comes up with a care plan. So, and then usually the best thing to do is this document then talks about if serious illness care, what we're going to do. If EMS comes, they can act on a PULSED. They cannot act on advanced directive because that's not a medical order. A PULSED is signed by one of those three types of providers. And then that is something that you can carry with you. You leave it. We suggest it stays on the fridge. If you're out and about or if you go between different places, you can take a copy of your PULSED in your purse. But basically, you show it to EMS, and this is what we're going to do. So this is only appropriate for people who are really have chronic disease, are frail, are very sick. The question we ask is, would you be surprised if this person died in the next 2 years? If you're not surprised, if you say, no, this patient's not going to die in the next 2 years, they don't need a PULSED. So everybody needs an advanced directive. Not everybody needs a PULSED. But for those patients who are frail, who are very sick, who may be in those last couple years of life, very important that you understand a PULSED. Very important that that care plan, that those wishes for care are documented. So we complete an advanced directive, we choose our people, we do all that, and a POLST is a medical order. It is signed by somebody and they put their medical license down. That's why it's such a powerful document.
And that also can be revised?
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. Definitely.
And sometimes when you enter into a care home or a nursing home, they want that document.
That's right. They're not allowed to demand it, but it is good practice to find out from a patient who is quite sick to find out what the care plan is. So we really encourage people to also to understand it. And when kids will say, oh, yeah, there's this green form on the fridge. Okay, go see what it says. What does it say? Make sure you understand it. And then so that people, again, understand what the plan is if something happens, if EMS comes.
And has the form been revised?
It has been revised, and I would encourage people to go to the Kukuamau website, and you can watch a wonderful short 15-minute video with Dr. Daniel Fishberg from Queens, and he outlines not only what these improvements are to the form, but then explains what it is. So already 915 people have watched that as of this morning. So it's really being used also as training. So people can go and see what the POLST is. We have all sorts of information about that on the Kukuamau website. But again, it's not you filling it out. It is your provider that is filling this out. And I should say, this is also something like a social worker could be having these conversations, but then the physician or the APRN is the one who's going to have those, who is the one who actually signs that.
And the basic idea is, if EMS were called, mm-hmm. this form is going to say, do something or not, do everything, or maybe do some stuff, and then deliver the person to the hospital. In the hospital, that's where your living will may come into play.
Right, and especially what the advanced, who the agent is. And then those stipulations. But the POLST is a very powerful document because it lays out what the plan of action is. And EMS, under state law, is empowered to act on that document. So that's what's also really important. The family understands it so that they aren't complaining when EMS is following the POLST. So, and they can also help by saying to EMS, wait, we have a POLST. Let's be following this. So that's why it's really important for people to understand POLST and then obviously to honor that.
Well, and it just makes sense that, particularly if you're in a facility, you know, the staff need to know, what do I want done?
Absolutely.
So that nobody's questioning, calling agents, saying, what do we do when there's a crisis?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to be calling around in a crisis to figure out what to do. So the POLST is really what people need. Again, the bright green form.
And you mentioned there's some free resources that people can find on your website. And what's that again?
So kukuamau.org, KUKUAMAU.ORG.
All right. I want to thank both Hope Young, Advanced Care Planning Coordinator, and Jeanette Kojane from Kukuamau for sharing their expertise with us here today on The Body Show. If you'd like to hear the show again, you can always click on hpr.org and follow the links to The Body Show. You can also find us on the HPR app. Our engineer is David Chong. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. And we'll be right here next week and every Monday at 6:30 on Hawaii Public Radio on The Body Show. We'll see you then.